doing?
I'm good.
Conference record has joined the conference.
All right, is everybody there?
I think I'm there.
Okay, great. Thank you, Stephanie, for agreeing to join us this evening for our topical call on the North Dakota Association for the Disabled. I've worked with Stephanie in the past in other capacities, and now she's at NDAD, so I'm thrilled to death that you can talk to us tonight about the services that you provide at NDAD. Stephanie is in Minot, and I'm sure when she goes through the materials and whatnot that she'll let you know how to contact her or other offices across the state. And then I'm hoping that everybody got their materials by email that I had sent out, as well as, well, obviously, the conference call line. And then if anybody has any questions afterwards, you know, feel free to ask Stephanie as we go. And with that, Stephanie, take it away, and thank you so much for presenting on the North Dakota Association for the Disabled.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for inviting me to do so. And thank you to everyone for taking time out of your schedules tonight to listen in on this. As Janine said, my name is Stephanie Tornator, and I work for the North Dakota Association for the Disabled, NDAD. And I'm hoping that the PowerPoint and attachments open up for everyone. I'm going to take that as a yes. So we'll just kind of go along through the PowerPoint, and feel free to ask questions at any point throughout the call as they come to you. You don't need to wait to the end or anything like that. But the first thing about NDAD, the first PowerPoint slide, just kind of says that we are a nonprofit charitable organization founded by concerned citizens for the purpose of assisting people with mental and physical disabilities in the state of North Dakota, many who are not eligible for services from other agencies. And really what that means is we help any person with any type of health condition or health issue with absolutely any age range. So we help all the way from brand new babies all the way up to, you know, 150-year-olds. Just there is no age limit for people to apply for services. And I know in the past, if some of you are familiar with maybe our old logo, it showed a person in a wheelchair. And a lot of times people would think that we only assisted someone who was a wheelchair user or had a physical disability because of that logo. And that's a huge part of the reason we updated our logo to the heart shape, but because that is not true. I mean, we do help people with absolutely any type of disability or health issue. Our mission statement is to enhance the quality of lives of individuals facing health challenges. I'll give you a little background about how NDAD started before I go into the different types of services that we cover. NDAD was started by a group of parents who had friends and family members with a disability. It was led by Ron and Faye Gibbons, whose son was born with cerebral palsy. And Ron and Faye Gibbons are still our executive directors to this day. So that's really neat that they have been around since the very beginning of NDAD and still extremely, extremely involved in the organization today. Many of the individuals with disabilities at that time weren't eligible for assistance from other existing agencies, and they were often living without, you know, necessary medical equipment or services. So the goal of NDAD is to raise funds to assist people with disabilities to live more satisfying and productive lives. So to start with, we'll talk about our different client services that we offer. The slide just shows the different areas, including financial assistance, equipment for loan, information and referral, advocacy, our financial loan program, and transplant grant program. And the first area I always like to talk about is our financial assistance. It is definitely the area that I get contacted most frequently for information about, that people have the most interest in applying for. And it is financial assistance, so I like to point out that it's not a loan that people have to pay back or anything like that. If someone is approved, it is simply money given to the different areas listed here, for personal attendant care, for durable medical equipment, home accessibility, vehicle accessibility, limited medications, and limited medical travel. So what that means is with the personal attendant care, we don't hire the workers, but for someone who needs assistance with activities of daily living, with getting dressed, toileting, showering, those types of areas, we can provide assistance with the financial cost of having a personal attendant care worker. We are able to help out, say someone qualifies through the county for some personal attendant care assistance, but needs above and beyond what they're eligible for. Sometimes we can step in and help there, as well as some clients may not qualify through the county for services, so they can certainly apply to us for financial assistance with the cost of personal attendant care.
Sorry, I do have a question. This is Brenda Schmidt in Fargo. I have a family who's trying to get back to North Dakota. They moved away to Arizona, and she's an older mom, and she doesn't know how she's going to fly back to North Dakota where they are going to stay. She doesn't know how she's going to be able to fly back by herself as her son is on oxygen and those types of things. Is this personal care attendant, is this something you could help her with?
You know, our clients do have to be North Dakota residents.
They're coming back.
How
long do they have to be? She was a North Dakota resident. She's been gone for 6 months, realized that the state of Arizona was not a good fit for her son with special health care needs, and we're getting her back here. But the big complication is that her son can't travel in the minivan all the way, you know, from Arizona, because he won't handle that physically. But how are we going to get her back here with an air flight? She can't do it by herself.
Right. Okay. You know, Brenda, that is a unique situation I've never been asked before.
What?
So let me do some checking tomorrow. I'll kind of have a little conversation with my supervisor, and I'm assuming, is your email one of here that Denine sent out?
Yeah, I'm the Schmidt at cable1.net.
Okay, perfect.
Hey, okay, that'd be great. You can do
yeah,
that.
I'll do some checking, though, and get back to you on that, because I'm not positive.
Yeah, neither am I. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll certainly check into that, though. Thank you. But, yeah, and with the durable medical equipment, we help with all types of medical equipment, ranging from, you know, less expensive equipment such as grab bars, shower chairs, toilet seat risers, transfer benches, all the way to very costly equipment like scooters and power wheelchairs. And in that area, we can help, say someone is on Medicare, and Medicare may cover 80% of their power wheelchair, and they're responsible for the remaining 20%, which on an expensive piece of equipment like that can really be costly for people. You know, that's certainly something that they can apply to us for assistance with that 20%, as well as maybe they're not on Medicare or Medicaid, have no coverage for medical equipment. You know, they can certainly apply to us for that as well. With the home accessibility, the person does have to be a homeowner. We're unable to assist with rental units, and we can look at things like widening doorways, adding a ramp to the front of a person's home, bathroom accessibility for someone who's, you know, maybe a full-time wheelchair user and needs like a roll-in shower or something like that. And then with the vehicle accessibility, I get asked a lot, but unfortunately we cannot purchase vehicles for people, but we can look at adding a lift or a conversion to a vehicle that someone may own. So that covers those areas, and then we do assist with some limited medications and limited medical travel. The medical travel does need to be out-of-town medical travel to the closest facility. And so we would need to know that someone could be treated locally or say they live in Minot and would be able to go to Bismarck but are choosing to go to Mayo Clinic or something like that. We would only be able to look at the closest facility for that. And with that, I hope everyone's able to open up the PDF file that's called NDAD application. And if you guys could do that, please, and we can take a look at our actual application. And this is what anyone who is interested in NDAD financial assistance needs to complete and turn into our office. It starts off with our frequently asked questions, and we kind of put together a list of questions that we get, obviously, frequently asked, so that if someone does have questions when working on the application, hopefully that information is able to help them out. A couple of things to point out is that if someone's requesting assistance with, like, a piece of equipment or home modifications, vehicle accessibility, they do need to provide us with two independent bids along with their application, and we do request a copy of the individual's most recent tax return if they file. You know, if someone is not required to file, they can just indicate that on their application, so then we know. Otherwise, we will follow up and ask if they file taxes.
I have another question, Stephanie.
Yeah, absolutely.
Brenda again. Okay, so when the children with disabilities, they turn 18, okay,
yep.
But the parent then gives guardianship of them, okay, but then the child, well, now adult, the 18-year-old, now, so are they the ones then that are on the application, even though the, or is it the guardians that need to fill out the financial information?
You know, once that happens, then the application is filled out in the young adult's name, and then it would be just that person's income.
The young adult, not
the young adult, correct. Until they are that age, though, we do need the parents' financial aid.
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
Yep, but once they are a young adult and maybe, you know, they're still living with mom and dad due to their disability, they can just, you know, let us know that they're living with their parents due to their disability and provide us with, if they're receiving like SSI or something like that, then that's the only financial information we would need at that time.
Okay, thank you.
So we wouldn't look at the parent income after that age.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, you know, that kind of talks about what needs to be included with the application. I do like to let people know that, unfortunately, our services are not emergency-based. So once an application is turned into our office, you know, it takes approximately 3 to 5 days for us to process it and find out if we're missing information or if we've got all the information we need to get a request in. So, you know, if someone has, like, a out-of-town medical travel trip coming up, we always encourage people to get their application in a couple weeks in advance so we have time to get everything, find out if they're missing anything, and get a request in prior to their trip. So anyway, just to kind of point that out, we've gone over the different types of services that NDAD provides. And number 4 talks about our client contribution. And that's something that a lot of people ask me when they call too is, here's my income, do I qualify? And we don't have a set income guidelines. What we use the income to determine is whether or not the individual will have a client contribution. And what that means is, say someone is a little bit more middle income range, they may have a client contribution of, let's say, $750. That means that they need to show us that in the past year, they have spent $750 on out-of-pocket medical expenses. And if they're married with a couple kids, we look at the whole family situation. So if it's a single person, it would just be their medical expenses. If it's a family, it would be for all the family members. And, you know, they can show copies of pharmacy receipts, hospital and clinic bills they've paid, travel expenses, any equipment purchases they've had. And then once they've met that client contribution, then we can move forward with processing their application. But until we get in the application, we're not able to determine whether or not someone will have a client contribution and what the amount may be. It just varies on their financial information. So, you know, absolutely anyone with a health challenge is eligible to apply. We do go through the application to make sure that the individual is not eligible for assistance through a different agency. You know, say it's something, a lot of times we'll find a client just isn't aware that maybe VR helps with that, or maybe they didn't know Medicaid would purchase that type of equipment. So we'll make those referrals to those agencies and assist them with that process if we think they're eligible through someone else for it. And that's just because as a nonprofit, we do have a limited budget and need to make sure that we are being used as a last resort organization. So unfortunately, you know, we're not able to grant every request and funds are limited. But we do our best to try to refer someone to a different agency that may be able to help them. We do have offices in Grand Forks. That's our main office. In Fargo, Minot, and Williston. We unfortunately don't have an office in Bismarck, so we'll have to get this updated. But and at the very end of the slideshow is the contact information for each of the different offices. And then this goes over community fundraising. So say someone, you know, isn't interested in applying for actual financial assistance through us, but would like to do some community fundraising to raise funds for whatever they're in need of. NDAD does assist with that. And a huge, huge benefit of going through a nonprofit like NDAD is that, you know, for an individual, say they're on public assistance, if they don't go through a nonprofit, the income raised through community fundraising does have to be counted as income. And therefore, it may make someone ineligible for the assistance they're receiving, and they also may have to pay taxes on that income. But if you go through a nonprofit, then it's not counted as direct income to the individual. And also, we have found that individuals and businesses are more likely to donate when a nonprofit is involved. I think there's just a little bit more trustworthiness maybe with that. And we do assist individuals with providing marketing ideas, but unfortunately we don't have the staff ability to actually help with lining up volunteers or putting on the events. That would be the responsibility of someone's chairperson to do that type of stuff. And we do track all the funds raised and then can pay the expenses directly. You know, if people bring in bills to us, we can pay those directly to the company. So that can be a huge benefit to someone. Say they're in the hospital, and it's just one less thing for a family member to worry about. They can drop off their bills with us and know that they're going to get paid. And with the community fundraising, the funds raised can be used for a little bit more broad services. So, for example, our direct financial assistance cannot be used for pre-existing bills. It cannot be used for doctor or clinic or hospital bills. It can't be used for things like rent, utilities, groceries, those types of things. But the community fundraising money can be. So that's a good benefit for people as well. And then just the last thing, as I mentioned, we do not pay for any prior existing bills. Sometimes we'll have someone apply to us for assistance with, say, a scooter, and they had purchased it 2 months ago. unfortunately, we're not able to go back and help with anything like that. So, you know, someone does need to apply to us first before purchasing equipment like that. So to go down to our application now, it is usually a 4-page application, front and back on a couple pages. So the first part is just basic information about the person applying. And this would be, say, this is who the person is applying. So if it's a child, you'd put the child's name there. Or if it's a husband, wife, you put the name of the person who is in need of the assistance. And then you can list if they have a spouse, list the type of assistance you're requesting and give a cost estimate if that's known. And then if it's a child listed up above, then down below under parent and guardian information, they can list their parent and guardian information. So we have that. And at the very bottom of the front page there, it lists a bunch of different agencies, and then we just ask that people indicate whether or not they're working with that agency, if they've applied, if they've been denied assistance from that agency, if they're receiving assistance, or if it's simply something that they would not qualify for. For example, an elderly couple wouldn't qualify for TANF. Or the state children's health insurance program or something along those lines. So they can just put NA there. But this way we really use this to determine, should this client be receiving housing assistance? Maybe they're not aware of that program. So we just take a look at that and try to connect people with the services available. Then the back of the application asks if the person has applied to any other agencies for the request. And they can list, if they've applied to Medicaid and Medicaid didn't cover it because it's outside guidelines or whatever, then that way we're just aware that they've at least tried some other avenues before contacting us. And then just some basic questions about the person applying as well. It's always nice that they're on Medicaid if they list a caseworker's name just in case we need to contact that person. And then down below, we ask a few questions, did someone refer you to NDAD? Can we contact that person? And if the request is of a high cost, or needs assistance on a long-term basis, would you like information on sponsoring a community fundraiser? Yes or no. And then may we or may we not use your name, photograph, and information concerning medical condition and publicizing our efforts? I like to let people know, too, that no matter how they answer those questions, it does not impact their application at all. So if that's something they're not interested in, they can just check no, and it has absolutely no impact on their application with us. And then really important that they sign and date down below. As mentioned, the person does need to be a U.S. citizen. And then the next part is financial information. And as I've mentioned before, we do need a complete signed copy of their most recent tax return if they file. Otherwise, they can just list, where their monthly income comes from and then list any assets they have down below. And then the back page of that is just debt information and, once again, a signature and date that we need there. The next page is our physician's statement of medical necessity, and this form is to be filled out by a doctor or a medical professional, and that's so we know that the request is medically necessary. So it's very important that the physician put the request on this form. So if someone's requesting assistance with a certain piece of equipment, make sure the doctor puts that on there. Or if they're requesting assistance with out-of-town medical travel, make sure the doctor puts where you need to go and that you can't be treated locally. If that stuff isn't on there, then we just have to follow up with the physician and get that information. And then the last page is a release of information form that I would imagine we're all pretty familiar with. So, and we just use those if we have follow-up questions for the doctor, maybe a caseworker, things like that. Any questions at all on the actual application? Nope. Okay, we can go back to the PowerPoint slideshow. and move on to the next slide. And we went over this already with talking about the funds raised through community fundraising. So we can skip ahead to equipment for loan. And NDAD offers a short-term equipment loan program. And we define short-term as 3 months or less. So we loan out equipment for 3 months or shorter, absolutely free of charge. The person does not need to go through that application that I just showed you guys. They just need to stop into one of our offices and fill out a quick form with their name, address, phone number, just some real basic information, and then sign that they will return it to us within the 90 days. And then we are able, as long as we have the equipment available, able to loan it out to them. We have a wide variety of equipment, walkers, commodes, shower chairs, transfer benches, grab bars, bed rails, wheelchairs. And
Stephanie, do you have a list of your equipment on your website?
I don't believe we do. I actually think that's something we may need to put together at some point to have available for people.
I think so. Through Hero, you know, they have a list that they keep pretty current, and it's very useful for people.
Yeah. So, no, that at this time it's not something we have, but I think it'd be a great idea for us to work on having that. But I always encourage people to contact our office and call us beforehand, just so it saves them a trip in case we don't have what they're looking for. And depend on, every once in a while we get donations of maybe more unique equipment that we don't usually have. So sometimes we may have something, you know, like now we have those knee walkers. I don't know if that's what they're called, but those have been going in and out a lot. And lots of bathroom equipment, commodes, and then, of course, scooters as well. So that's a program that is very, very popular and keeps us very busy. And it's great for people who just need something for short-term use and don't need to have that expense. It's very expensive to go out and buy those pieces of equipment. So, you know, refer people our way if that's something that they're looking for short-term use. And also, if someone has equipment through us for short-term use, finds out that it's something they're going to need more long-term, then they can certainly fill out the application for assistance and see if they qualify to keep that equipment for long-term use. In addition to our short-term equipment loan program, we also have wheelchair-accessible vans in our Grand Forks, Minot, and Fargo offices. And we do loan those out to people for out-of-town medical travel, local appointments, family reunions, graduations, you know, just any type of event to go run errands. There is absolutely no charge to use our van. All we ask is that when it leaves our office, it will be clean with a full tank of gas so that it come back the same way. And then there is a form that the driver needs to fill out. And then we just have to get a copy of the driver's license as well as proof of vehicle insurance. We need to know that they're an insurable driver. Our vans have been so popular. I think since the beginning of this year, my van here in Minot has gone out every weekend. And I'm sure the beautiful weather has helped too. But it is just such a nice option for people who maybe have a family member or friend who is a wheelchair user and they don't have a van of their own. Just so nice to get out and, you know, go to a trip, go shopping, go out to eat with family, things like that. I do encourage people to contact the offices well in advance for holidays, as that seems to book up really quick. As well as our weekends do seem to be pretty steady, but during the week it's usually a little bit better. And then on top of that, if, you know, it may be able to be used for out-of-state trips, but it has to be for medical purposes and approved by our Grand Forks office. So if that's something someone's looking for, you know, they can certainly contact any of our offices and ask about that, and then we'll just check and see if that's okay. So we do have vans in those offices. We do information and referral, which I'm sure all of our agencies do, you know, just connecting people with the other agencies out there and letting them know about resources they may not be aware of. Do advocacy as well, and try to make sure that individuals are receiving the services from the entitled, you know, the appropriate agencies. And then we do offer a loan program. And sometimes I find that, you know, someone may not want to apply to us for financial assistance and may just want a loan or maybe looking for an area that we don't provide financial assistance in. This is a great option for them to apply for a loan. It's used for assistive technology services, adaptive vehicles, medically durable equipment. You know, a benefit is individuals who may have difficulty obtaining financing may be eligible for financing through this program. And there's a lower interest rate. It's usually a percentage point below prime, a little bit more flexible payback terms. And then it just kind of lists the different areas that loans can be used for. I also attached the application. It's called the AFLP application, and it's in a PDF file. And just so everyone's aware, this information is available on our website as well. And if anyone is interested in me mailing this information out to you, you can just send me an email or let me know at the end of this call, and I would be more than happy to do that as well. So, but this is the loan application, and all the loans are processed through our Grand Forks office. You know, it's very self-explanatory, so a person can just go ahead and fill this out. What I think is really neat is our loan program can work together with our financial assistance program. So, for example, I had a family I recently worked with that has a child with CP and was getting to be in those teenage years where it was getting really tough for mom to transport her in and out of a vehicle with it still being safe. And so they were getting to the point that they wanted, you know, and needed a wheelchair-accessible van. So they applied to us for financial assistance with part of the conversion cost, and then they applied to our loan program for a loan for the remaining portion that we were not able to assist with. And so they were able to get a little lower interest loan through that program, as well as getting some financial assistance through us. So these programs can certainly work together. And I also have a family I'm working with that is even doing community fundraising to try to make up some additional money for an accessible vehicle as well. So that's our loan program. We have an offer, the transplant grant program. And the money for that program comes from state income tax refunds under $5. And it's able to help individuals who, you know, are in need of a transplant, who have had a transplant. It helps with financial needs related to the transplant, you know, needs that aren't normally covered by insurance. So that would include, you know, their travel needs, maybe some prescription medications that insurance is not covering for them. If someone's interested in the transplant grant, they do need to fill out our application for assistance. And then in addition to all these types of programs, we also have a few kind of fun programs we offer for people with disabilities. The first one is our Escape to the Lake event, which is an annual adaptive water skiing event. It's held usually in June, usually over Father's Day weekend, and it's at Lake Nelson, which is near Center, North Dakota, and that's the lake that's by the power plant, so the water's usually a little bit warmer for people with physical disabilities. And we bring in, you know, all the experts from Texas Adaptive Aquatics that have the training and specialized equipment for people with physical disabilities. who normally wouldn't get the chance to water ski. And it is such an awesome opportunity to see people out there who, you know, who never thought they would be water skiing, or to see parents who have a child with a disability that they didn't think their kid would be doing that, to be out on the water and just enjoying a really fun day at the lake. We provide lunch for the participants and the families, and there is absolutely no charge for this event. People just have to be able to get there. We don't assist with transportation at all. We do have a registration form that we send out to people, and can only have, you know, so many people come for the weekend. So there again, if anyone's interested in being added onto that mailing list, you just need to let me know. But just a really, really neat event. And there's usually a ski team that also performs a ski show and does the side skiing next to the person with a disability. In addition to that, in our Grand Forks office, we sponsor a wheelchair basketball team called the Wallbangers. And they do all sorts of games around the state, and I think even some out of state. So that's just a really neat event as well. And some of our guidelines, you know, just again, we work with all the agencies we can to not duplicate services that are already provided. We're unable to grant every request, unfortunately. And assistance is provided on a priority basis according to our guidelines. And the next thing is a success story that I will just let you guys go ahead and read on your own. We also do a quarterly newsletter that always highlights some clients we've assisted in the past quarter, and that is available on our website. And you can also sign up on our website. Twice a year we send out our newsletter via email, and then twice a year we mail it out. So you can sign up on our website to receive it via email and any other email updates we have. And we've got our board of directors just listed there for your information. Then our website, www.ndad.org. Absolutely all of our information is on there, our client application, our newsletter, our financial loan information. We have a section on our website called Wheelin' and Dealin', where people are able to list equipment that they have for sale. And then if someone is looking to purchase a gently used piece of equipment, we always refer them to our website to check that out, and then they work directly with the person who's selling it. And we are now on Facebook as well. So for anyone who has a Facebook account, you can certainly like us on there. We're at just under NDAD. Then the next slide lists our four different offices with all the contact information for those offices. And does anyone have any questions at this time?
This is Brenda again in Fargo. Sorry.
No, thank you, Brenda, for having questions.
I have, you know, one request that we get a great deal about in a lot of families request assistance to go to conferences regarding their child's disability, you know, educational conferences, and it's truly a gap in something that is provided for families from anywhere, and obviously a very large expense that many can't afford. Do you think, Stephanie, that is something that NDAD would consider taking on as something additional to help cover for families?
I can certainly bring that back to my supervisor. And I know we get phone calls for that as well. And that's just such a tough one. There's not a whole lot of avenues to refer people for in that area.
There really isn't. The only thing that we've been told is, you know, for them to go to the local animal clubs or, you know, rotaries and those types of things. And honestly, it's not really that viable because I've had families try that. And it although it sounds good in theory, it really doesn't play out well for the families. So if you wouldn't mind bringing that to your supervisor's attention. Again, I know it's been a request that we get a great deal
through Family Voices, and it would be great if we had a resource for the families.
Yeah, I certainly will do that. Because it is obviously an area of need for families, and so important for them to be able to go to those conferences.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Thank you. Any other questions or comments at all?
Quiet bunch.
It is a quiet bunch. I was hoping everyone hadn't, like, hung up on me or anything. So.
Jeff, this is Ashley.
Yeah.
Have you had anybody, or do you guys even have INR equipment for, like, home testing?
What's INR equipment?
They're on Coumadin, so they have to have blood draws every week. So it's more of a, or would you guys even help, like, it'd be under, like, the DME equipment? And we're really struggling to find anywhere that'll cover it because they've got Blue Cross Blue Shield of North Dakota and Medicaid in North Dakota, but there's not a lot of places in North Dakota that actually carry the equipment. So they won't, they call it an out-of-network expense, so they won't cover it because the test strips and the machines are coming from out of state.
Oh, and the person needs those types of test strips and equipment, I'm assuming?
It is somewhat more of a convenience factor because they live a little bit out of town. So it's weekly blood draws. So mom has to leave Grand Forks, go out to get her little boy out in the community, bring him back into Grand Forks, get his labs drawn on a weekly basis when it's something that they could just do in the home and call in the result. But, I mean, this is something he's going to be doing the rest of his life.
Okay. You know, Ashley, let me check on that, too. You guys are having some real unique situations, which is awesome. But let me check on that, Ashley, and I will email or get in contact with you about that.
Okay.
Yeah, because I'm not sure that's not something we've been asked about before.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And then, Stephanie, in addition to that, I'm working with a family who the child has diabetes. And the diabetic, the pump actually is an issue. And again, people don't want to pay for this certain pump, but yet this is a pump that this teenager that works very well for her. So for, you know, diabetic type pumps and those types of things, if you could check on that and also let me know what you find, that would be great. This is Brenda again.
Brenda, okay, yep, because I know we do assist with just, you know, basic diabetic supplies, test strips, insulin, all those different areas. But I will do a little bit more checking on the more specifics like these, absolutely.
Great. Did anybody else have any more questions for Stephanie?
Yeah, feel free to. I think everyone should have my email, too, from Deneen. Feel free to shoot me emails or give me a phone call or something, too, as, you know, situations come up in your work that you're just kind of wondering if it's something we can check into, because I can always find out. It never hurts to ask.
Hello, this is Mal. Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you.
Okay, I was on mute, sorry. I just want to comment on the INR monitoring.
Mm-hmm.
You may want to try with Children's Special Health Services and contact Sue Burns there. Just because
that is actually kind of who I'm with on my program, and they would help fill the gap. We need to just find somebody that'll get the machine, too.
Oh, okay. And where do you doctor at?
In Grand Forks.
Who's the child's cardiologist?
You know, I'm trying to think. I don't know it off the top of my head, to tell you the truth. I'm new to the position. I've only been in since January, and they had had coverage. And then when the place they were getting the test strips from moved states or their headquarters, that's when they started getting the problems where Blue Cross Blue Shield wouldn't cover it then. And Medicaid says it's not a necessity, so Medicaid won't touch it at all. And we're having problems with the out-of-state providers or, like, the distributors because they don't want to link up or they don't link up with North Dakota Blue Cross Blue Shield or North Dakota Medicaid. So to put in a contract or however that works, they said they pay for them to do that. I'm working with LimCare right now to hopefully maybe get LimCare to work. That's a newer company, I think. Or maybe it's not quite as new as I'm thinking it is, but.
We use Aware Home Monitoring.
See, and that's what they had before, and then it stopped. They stopped covering it because they haven't been able to get test strips from them now since, ooh, it's been a while, early last fall. Alere won't send them to them anymore, saying that they're out of network.
Okay.
So maybe I'll need to do some checking with if it's on Blue Cross and Blue Cross Blue Shield's end or if it's on Alere's end. Maybe I'll do a little more digging on that. Because what they did to the mom is they referred her on to this Edge Park Medical.
Yeah.
And Edge Park Medical said, no, we're out of network. So, I don't know.
And maybe Mo, that's something that you and Ashley could work on separately, and then if it's something that NDAD can help with, they can do some checking as well.
Yeah.
That sounds good. And who should I get in contact with? I'm sorry, I didn't hear who said, who I've been talking to on this.
Oh, this is Mo. I work with Family Voices as a parent-to-parent director.
Oh, okay.
So you can just go on our website to get my contact information or ask Benita for it.
Okay, perfect.
Okay.
Any other questions at all?
Sorry, I have one. Back to that financial form, when Brenda had asked about the 18-year-olds and how you that it goes by their income, do you account for special needs trusts on that?
You know, I think that would just need to be listed as an asset. Wow. That's another question I haven't been asked. So I apologize. I will check on how that works, too. But I think it could just be listed under as an asset. And that was, is this Brenda or?
No, this is Mo.
Mo, okay. Okay, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Let me do a quick check on that one, too.
Okay, thank you.
You guys are stumping me.
All right, any last questions at all? Stephanie, this has been really great information.
Yeah, it really has been. I agree.
And Stephanie, this is Brenda. I want to thank you for such great people-first language that you use. Obviously other than the North Dakota Association of Disabled, which, you know, back then that's how we said it. But your people-first language is outstanding, and you reuse that very well throughout your presentation, and I really appreciate that.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Great. Any other comments? Well, Stephanie, thank you so much for joining us tonight, and like I said, we'll have this up on the website, and for the rest of you, thanks for joining us this evening on tonight's topical call. So I'm appreciative to all of you and the time that you've given up to join us tonight, so thank you very much. And good night, everyone. Thanks.
Good night. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
The leader has disconnected. The conference will be terminated in 2 minutes. The leader has disconnected. The conference will now end.